It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, episode 189, Purple Dragon. I serve as your humble and always so grateful host, Bryce Isaiah, and I thank you so much for tuning in to this week's brand new Purple Pants Podcast. If you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, your baby boy been out here trying to get you all different type of content. So I appreciate if you guys could subscribe to the Purple Pants Podcast. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you can get podcasts. The Purple Pants Podcast awaits for you to hit subscribe, write a review, and give your baby boy some 5 stars. What it do, posse? I know you like, not you just gonna show up here after you ain't give us our episode last week. Listen, posse. Whew. Boy, we had a time last week. And your baby boy had to say, I got to choose myself this week because listen, y'all, listen, the baby boy been all over the place. And about a week and a half ago, you know, we were in Fort Lauderdale and we had like a little mini reunion of some Survivor players. And we did it down there in Fort Lauderdale. And so there was just so many of us. It was so amazing. It was so much fun. It was Wendell, myself, Sharia, you know, Dr. Riri. We had Desi. We had Tasha. We had Davey. We had Cerise's son, Pooh. Okay. We was just out there fellowship and having such an amazing time together. And, you know, when I throw events or have like little stuff like this, I always get so nervous because I'm like, I hope, you know, we can plan the right things to do. And I hope that everyone just like gets along. But when I just tell you guys, this trip was so effortless that everyone just got along. It was just such a great time. We rented a yacht one day, and baby, you know, your baby boy ain't never really been on a yacht. So yacht life was just something so different. And as we were like going through the river, I guess it was a river, a canal. And we're just seeing these beautiful multi-million dollar homes. You know, I just had FaceTime my mom and I was just like, you know, on the boat and you know, your baby boy was little, you know, a little cocktail, a little mimosa, you know, but listen, it ain't none of your business. And I just called my mom and I was just like, just showing her the views. And I just was really like, you know, this is the season of like manifestation. And I just really felt like I was just supposed to be in Florida on that boat to just really just see, look at these houses, look at like, you know, that could be me, that could be us. And that in order to believe it, you gotta see it. And to see it, you gotta believe it. And, you know, I don't know if I'll ever have me a little multi-million dollar home on the beach in Fort Lauderdale, but I do know that I want my future to be bright. You know, I want to be financially secure. I want to just be a lot of things that at times I don't envision myself. And I need to start believing in myself. I was on the boat with Tasha and we was laying out, you know, on the front of the boat, getting our tan on. And Tasha was like telling me some of her aspirations that she wanted to do. And we were just sitting there and I'm like, well, what are you thinking about? And she was telling me the plan that she had. And she was just being so specific and so detail oriented. And she was like, you know, I could spend hours in my mind imagining these things. And she says a part of her manifestation is to visualize it, to like put details to it, put colors to it, put places and times. And she was like, because I then start to see it. And she was like, if I see it, that means I believe it. If I believe it, it can happen. And, you know, I am so big on manifestation here on the podcast, you should know, but I never took it to that level before. And I was like, you know what, Tasha, let me just lay here with you and start let me just imagine what my man look like. Let me imagine what my house look like, because if I imagine it, I'm dreaming it. If I'm dreaming it, I believe it. I believe it. I can see it. So I was like, yes. So it was just such an amazing weekend. And then, child, you know, to get back to Philadelphia to go to work. And they, listen, it just was a lot. You know, baby boy had to take some Tylenol. And then, you know, the week just heated up. Our friend Nas, friend of the show, you know, he has a company, an event company called 6ix9ine Promotions. And he had one of his parties over this weekend. And baby, listen, it's called You and Me R&B. And I've talked about it before. Just such an amazing time. It's just like, it's almost like going to a concert, but it's just DJs playing like, you know, the good R&B music. And they always have like such a surprise guest. And last time I had went with my friend Sarah, and we brought Derek Frazier from Big Brother. And Derek, since the last time, Derek was like, well, when the next one? When the next one? When the next one? So we was like, it's this week. And Derek, you know, he invited some of his friends. I had my friends. Wendell was there. And it was just like such a great time. It was just like literally, although the summer not over, but you know, we in September, it was just really a great bang to end on a high note. Just such good times. And so listen, baby boy been trying to recover. Baby boy trying to get himself together, because you know a lot is going on. If you following the Instagrams, that you should know, you know your baby boy getting ready to hit the road. But before we even get into all of that, I just, you know, just want to send some love to my posse. I appreciate and love y'all, and I am excited for this week's episode. On this episode here, right here, Purple Dragon, we are having the church announcements. After our church announcements, we welcome the War Dog to the podcast. Ooh, not the War Dog. Yes, the War Dog. We are talking the dragons of the House of Dragon on HBO. It is September, so you know I had to bring you your Purple Pants Premonitions with Gangsta Gurry. And Miss Barb is dropping by for her Barb's message. So listen, we got a little jam-packed episode for y'all. And of course, you know, ain't no podcast complete without the freak of the week. So listen, buckle up. I was off last week, but just know your baby boy is back. Now let's get this podcast jumping. And for your church announcements this week, I have two items on the list. You know, your baby boy gotta let y'all know. If you don't know, now you know. The Bryce Isaiah 2023 Zaddy calendar is available right now. A week and a half ago, I did the reveal with Robert himself. And baby, we listed all of the Zaddies, okay? We done took the Zaddy verse into a new realm. We are opening it up. Okay, we got all the shows out there. But again, I just love the fact that the Zaddy calendar was created with you guys. And there is a lot of thought. There is a lot of time and a lot of love that goes into the Zaddy calendar. So I just love doing it. And, you know, it's out here. So listen, the 2023 Zaddy calendar is out here. And y'all know what I'm about to say. They're going like hotcakes. They are going like hotcakes. So don't wait. Don't wait, because I am blessed enough to say that every calendar that I have put out has sold out. So don't be waiting to the end and be like, baby boy, let me get a calendar. Listen, I don't know what to tell you. So make sure you click the link in my Instagram bio and my Twitter bio and bless your life with some Zaddies. Because listen, 2023 is closer than you think. The summer is coming to an end. And so, listen, that means we're going to fall and winter, and then bam, it's a new year, new me. Who this? Bryce Isaiah 2023 Zaddy calendar is available. Appreciate everyone that has already purchased it and supported your baby boy. And as well as the Zaddy calendar, you know, Survivor season 43 is right around the corner. And you know, your baby boys, Bryce and Wynn Perzett, we are hitting the road, okay, on our first official tour of our Survivor watch parties. We are going to D.C. We're going to Houston. We're coming to Philly. We're going to New York. And back by popular demand, we are heading to L.A. for the finale. And so listen, if you've never been to a Bryce and Wynn Perzett, do yourself a favor, get a ticket and come see the love, come see the family. It's just such a fun time. And so I'm so excited to hit the road with my best friend, my brother, Wendeezy, and embark on this Survivor 43 tour. So listen, you can also click the link in my bio, or you can head over there to the Bryce and Wen Present Instagram, click the link, and we will see you on the road.
It's a man who, it's a man you. Meat and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you. Meat and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew.
And we are back this week with a special edition of the Purple Pants Podcast.
It ain't that special. Believe it or not.
I can't believe I agreed to or have this person on the podcast. Okay. All I'm going to say is maiden voyage. If you know, you know. But I would like maiden to formally voyage. Welcome to the podcast my really good friend, dare I say my brother, dare I say when I'm in LA, my stalker.
Ooh.
The War Dog.
What is up, Zaddy Isaiah?
War Dog, what is going on? Shout out
Dragons.
To all the Dragons.
That's,
listen,
that's it. That's all
the
right.
Dragons. Just also shout out to all of the man fans out there that love the War Dog and are Ooh. Jealous that War Dog is constantly calling me and I don't pick up. And then I get these shirtless photos. So, you know, shout out to the man fans. We appreciate you. How have you been, War Dog? How's your summer been going?
Well, honestly, I've been keeping the man fans, you know, I've been keeping the thirst up because I've been having a lot of shirts on for photos. You know, I've been saving my shirtless photos for Zaddy Isaiah. So
well, we appreciate
you know,
that. The man fans want to know, when yes. you take the photos, yes. is it just by glitch, or are you actually really winking in the photos?
Are we winking? It's the War Dog wink. We are winking.
It's the War Dog wink. And
we only wink it for videos. I realize when I try to wink for photos, it looks like I have something caught my eye.
Yes. It's very awkward, but that is the very essence of the War Dog. And again, I'm really excited to do this podcast with you because, you know, the War Dog and I have had an up and down relationship. But I would have to say that the past year and a half, War Dog has been just a really good friend. And I think sometimes people don't realize how good of a friends we are. And, you know, War Dog is the War Dog. And you got to let the War Dog be the War Dog. And I understand it and I get it. But I think one of the things that also has like cemented our friendship recently is our love for the House of Dragon.
Yes. We do love talking about it.
I was a huge Game of Thrones fan, so was the War Dog. And when we started talking about the House of Dragons, like the War Dog will literally call me, I won't say hello, and he will go on a 45-minute rant about the things and everything. I won't even say anything, and then by the time I say something, War Dog's like, I'm busy, I gotta go, I'll talk to you later. Like, that's not a conversation, War Dog.
You're more like a sounding board. You know, I get my thoughts out and see which ones are good, which ones I should keep, and which ones I should discard.
Okay, and then then he just hangs up on me. We really love House of Dragon, and so War Dog came up with this idea that we should talk about it on the pod. And I was honored to have the War Dog here. And this isn't going to be a recap episode. Now, of course, we'll talk about the episodes, but War Dog is obsessed. And I use that term lightly with the dragons that we see in the episodes. And so we really want to just talk about the dragons and our thought process. Also, I want to just put this out there. The War Dog has a very strange amount of knowledge about the House of Dragons. Like the War Dog knows everything. So, okay. All right. Let me stop talking about the War Dog and let the War Dog talk. But before we get into the dragons, your thoughts on the series so far, and we haven't really talked episode 3, so I just really want to like quickly know what your thoughts on episode 3, but like what are your thoughts on the overall show so far?
Well, I want to preface, say that there's gonna be no spoilers coming from this because I have not read Fire and Blood, but what I've done is gone back and read about as much as I read as many spoiler free articles I could that gives context after the episodes, and then I went back on the wiki, you know, Ice and Fire page, and I pretty much read everything I could about the first 100 years of Targaryen rule. So everything in the past. So that, and I feel like that, and that's what Zaddy and I have been talking about. And I feel like it gives us a lot of context to the backstory of where the Targaryens are now, why there's so few of them right now, why there's so many dragons, and some of the backstory of these particular dragons, because we're going to see a lot of dragons over these next few seasons.
And why is the Targaryen number, why are they so low right now in the series or just in general?
Well, I mean, so we're at about, I know this episode skipped about 3 years. So we're like, I don't know, give or take year 115, 116-ish. We're somewhere around there. The idea is that we're going to go through a few more time jumps and we want to get to year 130 because that's when the Civil War begins. Ooh. And according to the background, by the time the Civil War starts, these motherfuckers got 17 dragons rolling around. Not all of them got dragon riders, because what we've learned and what we've at least been told from the past, things could change, is that to be a dragon rider, you got to have Targaryen blood in you.
Yes.
And they say, again, at least until this point in history, once a Targaryen bonds with a dragon, they can bond with another. But the dragon can bond with more than one, because dragons live a couple hundred years, potentially. So dragons can bond with more than one, but the actual person, once you bond, you're making that lifelong choice. And that ends up, we're going to get into a little later, kind of is becomes present in the story we have now of people making poor choices. That's a Game of Thrones theme, right? Poor choices. We see that.
And I think the common theme of that is though it's a poor choice in hindsight, but at the time that they're making the choice and, like, you know, the time that the person that we're talking of picking this dragon, we've talked about it. It kind of sort of makes sense because it was like their grandfather's dragon. It was a huge dragon at the time. So why not pick the biggest, oldest dragon? Well, I guess the reason why is because it's old and it's going to die. And then you can't bond with another dragon.
Exactly. So, like, now you go, we're going back to your question, why there's so few little Targaryens? Well, let's go back a little bit in history of the Targaryens, right? Okay. So you go back to old Valyria. Old Valyria used to be an oligarchy, was ruled by, like, about five or so strong families that were dragon lords. So there were about five families that owned dragons and had magic and everything else and handled that. And there was a lot of other families that were part of Valyria, but they were either lower middle class and they just didn't have dragons, like the Valyrians that we meet, right? Mm-hmm. With the sea snake. So the Valyrians and the Targaryens are the only two surviving families from old Valyria. The Valyrians were never dragon riders. They're not dragon riders now. And before we talk about Laenor Valyrian, the reason he's a dragon rider, we'll get into it later, is because he's part Targaryen. His mother's Targaryen. But his father, you ain't gonna see his father or uncle riding any dragons.
So just so I'm clear, so Valyrians used to be dragon riders?
No, never. They never were.
Okay.
There were about five families, including the Targaryens, that were dragon riders. The Valyrians weren't. So the Valyrians had already left Valyria before the Targaryens because they went out there just trying to make their buck in the world, right? Mm-hmm. If you notice anything from the Sea Snake, they're gritty people, and they go and they get everything they earn everything they get. And right now they're the richest family in Westeros because of their grit and what he said. Like, he put everything on his back and his father's back and probably grandfather's, and a couple hundred years of just hard work has got the Valyrians to this high status. The Targaryens, meanwhile, they had one of the guys' name was Aenys. Yep, Aenys. E-A-E-N-Y-S. He had this dream that Valyria was going to have some kind of disaster, and he took his family and there are five dragons, and they left. At the time, the other dragon lords all kind of mocked the Targaryens. Like, you're going to leave all this power behind, this, that, and the other. And they thought they were just, like, essentially giving up their piece of the pie. And then Aenys and his family and his five dragons, they settled on Dragonstone. One of those five dragons was Balerion the Black Dread, which is what the skull we see in the first episode, the big-ass fucking skull, right?
And that dragon is still alive.
No, he died. That's why I say we see the big skull, right? The one that we saw in the first episode, right? So he was one of the five dragons that came from Valyria with Aenys about 100 years before Aegon came and conquered. So about 200 years before we are right now. So fast forward to year number one, which is Aegon Conquest. That's what it stands for. Aegon, he's got just is him and his two sisters that have become his sister wives. And Aegon is rocking Balerion, the Black Dread. His one sister, Visenya, is rocking this female dragon called Vhagar. And his other sister, Rhaenys, is rocking this dragon called Meraxes. And they essentially invade Westeros, the three of them, and just cause, they run roughshod of the whole place, except for Dorne. They never conquered Dorne. So about 10 or so years later, one of his sister, Rhaenys, she's out there with Meraxes and Dorne trying to fight. She dies, a dragon dies, they go missing, et cetera, they're gone. So at the time, Aegon only had two kids. He had one kid with each of his sister wives, right? So already, at this point already, the Targaryen bloodline is not really growing that fast, right? And when Aegon dies, one of his sons, Maegor, which is a son from Visenya, who was the second son, he was not the king, he takes over Balerion the Black Dread, the biggest, baddest fucking dragon out there, right? He takes that dragon, and he kind of takes over, after his brother dies, he kind of takes over his nephew's rule, and he kind of rules for a while as a third king. They call him Maegor the Cruel. They mention him in the first episode when they were talking about Daemon, kind of saying, we don't need another Maegor. We don't need a, you know. And if you go back to Game of Thrones, remember they always said that you can always flip a coin to find out if you're going to have a good king or a mad king with the Targaryens. It's like 50-50. You're going to have a crazy mother effer, or you're going to have somebody that's going to be a good ruler. So he ends up being in charge for a few years. He dies mysteriously. And then his nephew, Jaehaerys, takes over. And Jaehaerys is the guy we saw from the first episode, the old king. And Jaehaerys ends up ruling for like 50, 60 years. And he marries one of his sisters. And they have 13 kids. So okay. All of a sudden, he populates the bloodline, right? But unfortunately, a lot of bad tragedy happened to his kids. A couple died really young. One was a little bit, wasn't really kind of fit to rule, so they made him a maester. One was this rebel daughter, which they kind of mentioned without saying her name in this episode and talking about how that's been a common theme for Targaryen's king to have rebel daughters, because he had this one rebel daughter that kind of stole from them and went to Essos and had three bastard children, et cetera, et cetera. But he had two sons that were willing, body, able, middle-aged, ready to take over this thing, right?
Okay.
He had his oldest son that survived to older age, the son Aemon. And then he had another son, Balon. Aemon is Rhaenys, the queen who never was, his father.
Okay.
And Balon is a father of Viserys and Daemon Targaryen.
Okay.
So, and at the time, they started a tradition, and we kind of learned a little bit about that, where they start putting dragon eggs in the cradle with the baby, right? So it seems like to bond with them. So it seems like there's two kinds of people that choose dragons. There are some that end up bonding from birth with their dragon. And there are others that decide to take a big ass, badass dragon that was somebody else's. Okay. And we're going to see a few examples of that. So, and I don't know if these three dragons are alive or not, because I have no spoilers, but the old king and his two sisters, they bonded with their dragons. Okay. And the old king had a dragon called Vermithor. And his sister slash wife had a dragon called Silverwing. And his other sister had a dragon called Dreamfire, which we heard a little bit about the egg. Like, you know what I'm saying? That, hey, that's, yeah, Dreamfire's egg. So that doesn't necessarily mean Dreamfire is alive. But we know from the first episode, they said at this point, there's 10 adult dragons out there, right? And we've only seen three so far, right? So those are three dragons that are all kind of probably relatively not too old. You know, maybe 50, 60 years old right now, that are out there potentially. And then his two sons, Aemon and Balon. Aemon took, also bonded with the dragon that we have seen, the dragon Caraxes. Mm. All right, so that used to be Aemon's dragon. And Balon, he went the other route. He went, I want one of those big badass dragons. So he got the big bad Vhagar, which we recall, that was one of the three original dragons that invaded King's Landing, right? So at that point, at that time, Vhagar was the second biggest dragon behind Balerion. So Aemon ends up, he's a heir presumptive around year 90, you know, maybe about 25 years before we are right now. He's fighting a battle out in some pirates, and he gets killed. Okay. He gets an arrow shot through his head.
So and that's the oldest son.
Oldest son, right?
Okay.
So at that point, they were deciding, like, who should be the heir? Should it be his daughter, Rhaenys, or should it be his or the king's other next son, Baelon? And at that point, they kind of already, this is the first time they skipped over Rhaenys and said, no, we're just going to give it to the, you've got another good son, Baelon, older, you know, good leader. So they kind of already skipped, they already set a precedent that, we're just, forget about your granddaughter. We're going to go to your other son. So they already skipped Rhaenys one time. Well, year 101, my man Baelon ends up dying, what you call, they said a burst belly, which sounds like probably like an appendicitis, something like that. And that's when they did the Great Council. That's the first scene of the first episode. And one thing that's really touching when I watch it again, they talk about this is Targaryens at the height of their power. And we all know in the next 200 years, they're going to lose everything. We know that in the next 50 years from that, all the dragons are going to be dead. So, but right now, and we know from the old king, he's got this pained look on his face, right? Because they even said that he knew that the only thing that could take down a Targaryen dynasty is the Targaryens themselves. So instead of him naming an heir, he goes out there and gives up to his lords. And his lords pretty much overwhelmingly choose the son of his second son versus the daughter of his first son. And that's what kind of brings up now. So
right
now, so because of all that, that's why you only, when the season starts off, you only have three adult Targaryens. You got Rhaenys, Viserys, and Daemon. Because you've had all this infighting within the first 100 years and all these tragedies to these children and grandchildren. So you're down with three. And so you're like, okay, who are they riding for dragons, right? Well, Viserys, he chose in year 93, he chose to ride Balerion the Black Dread. And they warned him, don't pick him. Don't pick him. He's 200 years old.
But at the time, he was the biggest dragon, right?
He was the biggest, but they say he was slow, he was old, and they warned him not to pick him. And you know something? He picked him.
But it's also too important to, I mean, again, I agree with what you're saying, but looking at it from him, the tradition of riding the dragon that your, was it dad or uncle?
Ooh, no, it would have been his great-great-grandfather, Aegon.
Okay.
And then his great-great-uncle, Maegor, ran. But two former kings, two of the first four kings had this dragon.
Right. So, I mean, again, it is not a smart choice in the sense of you probably won't have this dragon for long, but in some way, keeping somewhat of the tradition of, like, riding the dragon that your great-great-grandfather and your great-great-grandfather ran, like, I see why somebody would.
No, we get it. But right now, guess where he's at right now? He's a dragonless motherfucker. So he's weak. Right?
Right.
He got no dragon. So who else we got dragon riders? The other adults, Rhaenys. She's got a dragon that we haven't seen yet. And I'm not sure how to pronounce it because we haven't seen it. It's called Melys, M-E-L-Y-S. So I have no idea what the color of that dragon is, what that dragon is all about. Since I haven't heard about it in the first 100 years I did my research, I'm assuming that dragon is one where she bonded with the dragon. I didn't want to look into her page because I don't want to get spoiled. So I don't really know, but I just know that's the name of her dragon, right?
And yes, and it's also important to know that during this time, they have like the dragon lair or the dragon dungeon where they store the dragons that they have, like where they live.
Correct.
And then also there, we've heard within the first three episodes that there are other dragons, the other 10 that are out there. They're just flying solo. Like they're just living their own life. Like they,
some of them. Like Vhagar.
Right.
We keep hearing about Vhagar because now she's the biggest, baddest, oldest dragon left. And if we remember from what Tyrion told us in Game of Thrones, that because they started putting them in these dragon pits, they started getting smaller. So as the years went on, the dragons got smaller and smaller, even when they got to adult size. They didn't get, like, the next generation never got as big as the generation before them.
So that makes sense because it's like a reptile. Like, you know, I have a turtle and I always put her in like bigger tanks every like 3 years and she's getting pretty big. But if you keep them in captation or what's the word?
Captivity.
Like they won't grow it. They'll grow as big to their tank. So, okay, come on, war dog with the knowledge. Okay.
So now you have, and Daemon being a little bit like his brother, he decided to go for a big badass dragon, but he didn't go for one that's that old. He took Caraxes. So we've seen the Caraxes, long ass neck, red dragon. And then you have Rhaenyra, which is our third dragon rider when the show starts. Okay. And she was bonded with Cyrax. You can see Cyrax is not as big right now. We haven't seen him this past episode because it's been 3 years. I'm assuming Cyrax is getting bigger. But you could tell already that Rhaenyra and Cyrax got a real tight bond, right?
Right.
And what's cool about this series and what the writer said is that each of these dragons are going to have their own personality. And we're kind of already seeing it in these dragons, right?
Right.
So you're going to get a little invested. And they said, we're going to meet 9 dragons the first season. 9. Okay, we've met 3 so far. And so I think we're going to get invested because when we see some of these dragons, presumably the Civil War is called Dance of Dragons, when dragons are on different sides of the Targaryen armies, and we see dragons fight each other and some of these dragons die, I feel like as viewers, we're going to be emotionally attached to some of these dragons. Right. We're going to have some favorites amongst these dragons, right? Or if we start seeing some dragons like Dragon A kill Dragon B, and then Dragon C kill Dragon D, then when A and C battles, we're like, oh, shit's about to go down, right? Like, these are the bosses, right? So I feel like that's something that is going to be really exciting. And then so you have a little bit of a problem when the show starts off, right? You got 10 adult dragons, maybe some children dragons, and you only got 3 people to ride them. But what we found out already in this episode is that, yes, Rhaenys' kids, they got Targaryen blood.
Yeah.
So Laenor and Laena, and we were realizing my man Laenor, he's got his own dragon.
That's my guy.
Sea Smoke.
So first of all, Sea Smoke. Okay, so by far, that's, I thought I was going to like Rhaenys's or the king's daughter.
Rhaenyra.
I thought I was going to like her dragon
Cyrax.
Cyrax, but I am definitely going with Sea Dragon.
Sea Smoke,
because I want all the smoke. Now, here's the one thing that, like, my one criticism is that in the first 2 episodes, we meet Sea Smoke's rider, which is the queen that never was. And
no, that's not Sea Smoke. That's a mother. Rhaenys.
We see the queen that never was and the Valyrian guy. That's his son.
Yeah.
Corlys. So that's his son. But I felt like in the first episodes we see him, I felt like he was like 10.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. We only see him we only see him one scene at the duels, right? He's sitting there with his parents. He could have been 13, 14. And right now, remember, this actor, like, didn't have to go through some time jumps. Supposedly after episode 5 is going to do a 10-year time jump to get us really close to the war, and they're going to change out a lot of the actor, like the actress for Rhaenyra and Alicent are going to be new actresses. So I don't know. I'm guessing that he's probably like
21.
Younger. I'm guessing like if his sister was 12, he was probably like 14, and maybe he's supposed to be like 17 now. He's probably about Rhaenyra's age.
Okay. Now, this is spoiler free, listen.
I don't know for sure old he is.
I was, by seeing him grown up and just, first of all, I just love the representation and seeing that how like the Valyrians are black. And I did read this really great article as to like why they chose to make the Valyrians black and why it still fits the book essence. And if you guys are interested in that, you should go read that. But for me, what's his name? Valar?
Who are we talking about?
Seabreeze. Sea Smoke.
Sea Smoke. Laenor.
That's my guy. Okay, now I like him already. He was giving his grandpa and his dad the smoke. He was
his uncles. Uncle and
his
dad.
His uncles the smoke. And so I just like his character. Now, I tried to be spoil free. And I like tweeted that out yesterday. And then somebody was like, keep watching. And I said, spoil free, I don't want to know. But right now, he's my favorite character.
Yeah, and you know, what I like about it is in the episode, they don't even say what the dragon's name is. You just say, oh man, here's Laenor Valyrian riding a dragon. So I had to like quickly read an article, a recap that was spoiler free, and said, oh, we finally got introduced to Sea Smoke, right? And they said that, and he said Sea Smoke came out of nowhere, which actually is true of the books, because Sea Smoke was known to hide in the clouds and pop up out of nowhere. Where a lot of the other dragons, you hear them coming from a long away,
right?
They're loud. And you don't see him. He just pops up. Oh, shit, there's a dragon, and he's kicking ass. So, like, that's pretty cool.
I love it. He seems well bonded with his rider.
He does.
Which I love. So, now,
Can we talk about Caraxes for a second? Can we talk about...
I want to talk about
that first scene that I think that Caraxes has a little bit of a heart too, or Damon does. Because when he landed on that one guy and squashed him, that was the best way the guy was ever going to die. His other choices were going to be getting eaten alive by crabs or Caraxes burning him. Like, he has squashed him and, like, pretty much broke his neck and broke, you know, like, he just put him out of his misery. I thought that was pretty nice.
So I'm so glad that you got into that because, again, like when we're saying the personality about the dragons. And so if you are alleging that because I already watched it twice.
Yeah.
But I just thought the dragon was so big, he landed on the ground and just like squashed somebody. So you feel like
maybe.
I think maybe, but again, which is why I love having these conversations with the war dog, is that makes sense. And so if he is connected to Damon, and we see Damon as this hothead, this, you know, a lot of different things. And if the dragon killed that guy like that to really put him out of his misery so he wouldn't have to suffer, it really kind of, it makes me think about Damon a little bit, in the sense that, like, Damon is a mess. He's a hothead, and War Dog and I have gone back and forth, and War Dog seems to think that Damon doesn't really want to be the king. Damon just wants to be like seen by his brother. Yes. And, you know, when the Valyrian, when Corlys was talking to Damon last episode and telling him about, like, you need to squash what's going on with the crab eaters, and he was talking crazy about the king, Damon was quick to be like, listen, I could say whatever. It's like me. I could say whatever I want about the war dog, but let somebody else talk about the war dog. It's a problem. So we do get to see this, like, heart of Damon's, that, like, he really does love his brother, although he is somewhat crazy. And then we see even in this episode where, in order for them to kill the Crab King, they need somebody to smoke him out, and they want Damon to go because he started the war. But that's still you gotta have heart to do that. And I don't know, I just feel like they are making us want to hate but love Damon, because he doing a lot, but at the same time, he is the second brother. And I feel like we know the history of the second brothers, that, you know, the first brother is supposed to be the king, and the second brother is just kind of like, you know, look at Tyrion, and you talk about the Lannisters. And I also feel like Rhaenyra, the king's daughter, kind of sort of has that complex of the second child, even though she's the first child. But after the king has this baby this episode, we really see that, like, Rhaenyra feels like the king's done with her. So I just bring that up to say that I agree with your point that if you are making the conclusion that the dragon has a heart and cares, I think that one could make a point that that's very similar to Damon.
Yeah, I think those first two episodes, you get to see Damon Rhaenyra, he cares about her. When he gave back Dreamfire's egg, he just wants attention. But now, here's something interesting to think about here. If they say that you flip a coin and one out of every two Targaryens are going to be crazy, I'm going to argue that right now, that the Targaryens we've met, we don't have a crazy one yet. Viserys seems like a very nice guy.
Right.
He's not made to rule. He lost two fingers now because of the infection from the throne. He got that thing in his back. He's obviously, the throne is rejecting him. He's not made to rule. He's drinking, thinking he made a bad choice about Rhaenyra. Then later in the episode, he reconfirms to Rhaenyra, I'm never going to pass you over. He's confused, but I don't think he's crazy or a bad person. Again, Damon, he's a nut job, but I think he's got a bigger heart than he shows.
Right. Oh, no, for sure. Definitely.
I think Rhaenyra, she showed a little bit of rebel side in her, but I don't think she's going to be somebody that's going to turn evil at all. I think she's more of a heroine.
And what do you think of the Queen That Never Was?
I think Queen Never Was just seems like she's a pragmatic cynicist right now. And she's going to pretty much say, like, look, you're crazy. You're never going to rule. I got passed over twice. Like, it's the way of the world. But she could be cunning. But I don't see her like, when I'm thinking like a Mad King, a Joffrey, a Ramsay Snow, like these evil people, I don't see one yet. Which now makes me kind of think that this next generation, we know that the king's got baby Aegon. He's got another baby on the way. We're going to assume that Rhaenyra is going to get married, have some babies. I feel like, and we know this war is going to take place in like another decade and a half. I feel like this next generation, we're going to have at least one or two like really evil Targaryens.
But it almost would make sense because if, is it Aegor that ruled for 65 years?
Oh, no, that was Jaehaerys, the old king.
Jaehaerys.
Yeah.
So it makes sense, though. If Jaehaerys ruled for 65 years and had peace in the kingdom, it seems like there wouldn't be a lot of trauma in the Targaryen blood that these kids have had to grow up in.
But correct.
It, as we approach the war and turmoil takes over, it would make more sense that, like, the children are growing up in traumatic feels that make them kind of like one-sided and could make them very,
that's
very,
a really good
very,
point.
Very. So, you know, I'd be thinking now, here's my one question.
And then afterwards, I want to, before I forget, you mentioned about second brothers, and this episode, we pretty much saw dynamics, or we saw three sets of brothers. I want to get into these three sets of brothers, but go ahead.
I wanted to just talk about, so we finally, because I've been also saying to the War Dog, have we seen a Lannister? Have we seen a Lannister? So
there's
we
one
finally get
brothers.
To see a Lannister.
Lannisters, we saw two.
So the one that wants to marry.
There's twins. So I didn't realize the first two was a different one. So they,
okay.
So go ahead. The one that wants to marry, that's Jason.
Okay. Now.
And then there's Tyland, which is the same actor, but he's the one now, supposedly he took over as master of the ships because in the last 3 years, Corlys just bounced. Him and Daemon bounced. They haven't been in touch with the king for 3 years, fighting this war by themselves. And so you got the younger twin, Tyland, same actor. He's now the new master of ships. And then you have Jason, who's obviously, he's got a little bit, his game's a little aggressive, right? He had a little aggressive game on Rhaenyra.
Listen, that was a little aggressive. Listen, if you going to build me a dragon lair, listen, I'll come be your princess. Now, this is my question.
Yeah.
Who are they to Cersei, Jaime, and Tyrion? Is that their great-great-grandfather?
Well, I mean, this is 200 years before.
Oh, okay. So
170 years before them, right? Oh, Daenerys was born year 283. Jaime was older already. Maybe so. Jaime's probably born, I don't know, 260-something? I don't know. So, I mean, this is like 140 years before that. And again, I don't know. We don't know the story. I don't know if it's if they're descendants of Jason or the descendants of Tyland, right? We might find a little bit more about these two Lannisters, right? I don't know, you know what I'm saying? But right now we know that Jason, as the older twin, he's the Lord of Castle Rock. And the younger one, like a second son, gets nothing. So you got to make your own life, own way in the world. So that's what we know. So a great dynamic this episode is at the Hand of the King, we know he's a second son, but he's a Hand of the King. So he should be the pretty much the most powerful person besides the king in the realm. But we just saw in this episode that his older brother was kind of telling him what to do.
Is the older brother the guy that was telling the king that, like, you
Aegon
should
the second, yes.
Oh.
He was, yes. The one that was saying, he was a little shorter.
He was telling the king that you need to marry into the Valerius family, and I'm going to, like, suggest that.
No. That's somebody. That's the strong. We'll get to him. So, no, he was a guy that all of a sudden, when the king came up, and it was a birthday, he just came out of nowhere and said, oh, look, Aegon, second of his name. Essentially, that's something he would say if he's a king or a future king. So, like, he was the one that told the Hand of the King, his brother, like, what are you doing? How come they haven't named your grandson?
Oh, see, y'all see why it's important for me to talk to the War Dog, because he be telling me stuff that I didn't know. Okay, all right.
So you see, and it's interesting because this guy, Otto Hightower, he's a position of him, the king, like the most powerful position, but yet he's a second son. And you see that right there, that the Lord of Old Town, his older brother, is still kind of bossing his ass around. Mm. Like, what are you doing? You know, don't you want our blood to be the king? So that's another interesting dynamic that we're going to keep an eye on, because at what point is there going to be some resentment between the two Hightowers? And then the last set of brothers is, so you mentioned the guy that gave him the advice, that's Lord Strong. He's a master of laws. He gave good advice the first episode. He told him, you should marry Lena. The king went against the advice. And now he's saying, he's like, look, for 3 years, you pretty much lost the wealth of this family. They're gone. And actually now with the kingdom kind of split, they're getting embarrassed in the war, and you're not helping out. The whole Westeros is looking weak. Everything's looking weak right now. Like, we're not united. He's like, you can be united now by maybe marrying Rhaenyra to Laenor. So, like, okay, it didn't work one way, but that would bring Corlys, you know, bring the sea snake back into fold. So, so he seems very smart. And this episode, we got introduced to his two sons. Barely. Well, one, we barely got introduced because he got mentioned when the king's like, what do you want? What do you recommend? Rhaenyra marrying your son? Breakbones? Right. And now we actually, I didn't realize who it was until I saw there's a little clip, a little meme that's going around Twitter right now of this one guy smiling when he saw Rhaenyra come back with all the blood on her face and looking at her like,
okay.
So this motherfucker is called Breakbones, which I think is one of the coolest nicknames I've ever heard. He's like the strongest, probably one of the strongest motherfuckers in the Seven Kingdoms. Guy's name is Breakbones, okay?
Well, and, also second best name, first best name, War Dog. Okay, just so we clear. Okay. Go on.
And then the other son, I'm really, really interested to see where it's going to go. That's the guy with the club foot that thought he was better to sit with the ladies.
Oh, who sat down with the ladies.
Yeah, so, I mean, the fact that he's sitting down with the ladies, we already introduced to him, some dialogue. He's got a club foot. His brother's this big, strong guy. So I'm really curious to see what's his dynamic. And so far, we know their father, he seems to be giving sound advice both times. He's not trying to push his own agenda. He's actually maybe the most loyal person to the king, right?
Right.
So so that's right now. We got the Strong brothers. We got the Lannister brothers. We got the Hightower brothers. This show, so far, three episodes in, is like really put a lot of focus on what I think was the best parts of Game of Thrones, and that was family and politics. Mm.
I agree. And so, dare I say, do you feel like the Dance with Dragons, aka the Civil War, being as though there's been such an emphasis on this brothership, do you feel like the two sides will probably be two brothers on opposite ends?
Yes, because I think, and I don't want to go into spoilers, I haven't been reading it yet, but I think they talked about the Dance of Dragons a few times in Game of Thrones. And they said it was all the dragons were fighting, and they said it was brother against brother, sister against sister.
Mm.
You know?
Sister against sister.
Yeah. You know, so and maybe they didn't say, I'm not sure if it's sister, they definitely said brother against brother. You know, so, like, and so I do see, I would not be surprised if we see, you know, strong brothers on different sides. Obviously, you're going to have Targaryens on both sides. You're going to maybe have Lannisters on both sides. Maybe, you know, maybe these, you know, Hightowers. I don't know. Like, I think that it's going to be, and it might not just be two sides. It might be three. Like, we don't know. Right. It's going to be a lot of different politics. But we know a lot of these people are not dragon riders, but they're going to make do. I mean, honestly, I am not underestimating a Lannister, because we know when Game of Thrones starts, Lannisters are the most powerful family. Right. So obviously I'm not underestimating what these two twins, or at least one of the twins, is going to be able to do without even having a dragon. Right. Even though one twin wants to marry Rhaenyra and have a dragon in his control. Right. Like, you know, so I'm feeling that I'm feeling. I'm not feeling his game in his like execution, but I'm feeling his thought process. Yeah. Yes. So I think it's going to be fascinating, and we're going to have to deal with some time jumps, because I think that they really want to spend this first season, I think, giving us context. So when the war kicks off, we are invested in these characters.
Right.
And then it's going to go slow. And we're invested in these dragons, because we know we're about to go from 17 to none 20 years after the war. Okay. So I'm locked in. I'm trying to enjoy these dragons while we see them. And I think we're going to get, just because you can't have a whole season without some kind of big bang, I feel like we're going to have a dragon death this season. Right? They got to give us, or at least one dragon fight, which if it's a dragon fight, it's going to be a dragon death, right? Like, these dragons don't look, they call a truce and go back home. Like,
well, you never know. You're saying they got hearts. So that's what the War Dog keeps telling me. I feel like we won't see a dragon death. We will see a dragon battle. And I think the series, season one, will end at the start of the Dance of the Dragons. But I also do feel like the start of the Dance of Dragons is going to be relative to the start. Because, for instance, when they were out hunting. Okay. I'm sorry.
Oh, give me some. Yeah, go ahead.
I got two things. So because I feel like when they went out hunting, right?
Yeah.
And the ladies were talking, and the lady was like, we're at war. And Rhaenyra was like, we're not at war. And the one lady was like, baby, to the contrary, we are at war, whether you want to admit it or not. So I feel like that is how the Civil War, the Dance of the Dragons, it's going to have started soon, but it's not going to be like the big thing into a big thing. So that's my one prediction. My second prediction is this: what I wanted to ask you. So when they are out hunting and they're looking for the white heart, elk,
the big stag,
and like, you know, they're like, oh my God, he hasn't been filmed in a while, and they are saying this is going to be good prosperity for the king if he can kill him and bring him back. They've been tracking him, and we see, well, first of all, also we just see how really weak the king is. Like, he's got to have a step stool to get up. They got to like show him where to kill, like, you
and
know,
he misses the first time and doesn't do it right.
Right. I mean, and then it's like somebody has to come up and say, like, you should probably do it again right there. So, again, in that moment, we're like, wow, he finds it. He kills him. Like, great. But then also we know Rhaenyra is off with the prince or the what's his name? Who's the protector?
Tristan Cole.
Listen, and let me just tell you, Sir Tristan Cole. Come and get it. Listen, I will trade you for...
I like his story. He's got a good backstory.
I like his story as well. I feel like he's going to be like our Jon Snow of this season now. But when they are out and she stays and they get attacked by the wild boar, the next morning we see an elk that's all white.
Yes.
And so is that really what they were hunting? And
I think so.
And is the king going to be lying? Like, so I just feel like there are so many dynamics right there, because it's like it puts something in Rhaenyra's where it's like, I actually see the elk is alive. I had the opportunity to possibly have him killed, but I didn't. And the fact that, like, we know the king is like essentially lying to the people, saying that, like, you get what I'm trying to say here? Like, I feel like there is something there that, like, Rhaenyra knows the truth about the elk. And I don't know. I just, it for me, it just is all going to the demise of the king. And it makes me question if the demise of the king isn't brought on by Rhaenyra herself.
Let me ask you a question. And once again, I don't know the spoilers, and we, you and I can take 2 seconds and look it up online and get the answer. But do we think, I mean, it's pretty obvious that the war probably starts right after his death.
Right.
Soon after his death. Do we think he dies, you know, like getting sick or whatever, or do we think somebody kills him?
See, I don't know. Like,
Me neither. I feel like he just dies. I think
he just dies just because of just how weak he is.
He's getting
just
weak.
Like how
unwell
he looks.
And stress.
The stress. And at first, in the first
episode. He's a good actor.
He is. I like his acting. In the first episode, I thought the war would probably be Rhaenyra and Daemon against each other.
Yeah, but I'm not sure about that.
Now I feel like one of the sides is going to be Rhaenyra and Daemon. They're going to be together, and they're going to be fighting against the king's son.
Baby Aegon.
I feel like those are going to be the two sides.
It makes more sense, right?
Right. And, you know, we think Daemon going to be like, no, but I feel like Daemon's going to ride out with Rhaenyra. That's my thought, my opinion. But yeah, that's what I like. Yeah, I'm invested. I'm locked in as well, too.
All right. So right now, of the three dragons, your favorite sea smoke?
Come on, give me the smoke.
I think every week we need to have dragon rankings of what they're doing right now. So what's your top three? Not even about what you like, but just what they've accomplished right now. What's your three rankings for dragons?
So also our ranking system are purple dragon eggs. If you get 5 purple dragon egg, that's a 10 out of a 10. And clearly as it goes down.
Okay.
So I would give sea smoke. So first of all, I just want to give him a 5 because of his rider.
It's too early.
Dog. So I'm going to give Sea Smoke a solid 3 purple eggs.
Okay.
Because he's with the smoke. He aggressive. He flies under the radar. Like, I just felt like he and his partner were well bonded. So Sea Smoke is 5 purple eggs.
Okay. 5. I thought 3 you said.
I mean 3.
All right. I feel like nobody's really done anything. I feel like, to me, my highest can be 2.5 eggs. Because I feel like to get a little higher, I think the dragon's out of killing the dragon, right? And right now we haven't got there yet, right?
Oh my God. What a dog.
I'm going to say this right now, and this is going to be outside the box, but this is going to be a little bit cheating right now, but I'm going to give you reasoning why I'm giving all 3 of them a 2.5, okay?
Okay.
And if anything, maybe a 2.6 to Cyrax. I'm going to give Cyrax the highest ranking right now because of when when they went out there in episode two and they had that confrontation between Hightower and Daemon, Caraxes was already there. He was there. He's bigger than Cyrax. You know, the other Hightower told his people to put the swords away. But my man Cyrax showed up and he didn't, or she, I'm not sure, I think it's a she. I'm not sure. I think Cyrax might be a she, but she didn't flinch, right?
Right.
She kept it going. She had the shoulders a little popped up, loosened up. She got a little close to the action, let her girl go out there. And you know something? I didn't see Caraxes step his game up right there. I saw him kind of like wither away a little bit. His long ass neck kind of back. Like you would think, if, you know, Caraxes come out there and be like, you know, step up a little bit more, you little growl. But he was like, oh, okay.
But this is what I also will say to that point. No, first of all, the fact that you picked up on that, I love it. But if we are saying that the dragons have personalities, and I feel like the dragons' personalities have to be similar to their riders, because I feel like that has to be how they bond. I would also say in that moment, with the relationship between Daemon and Rhaenyra, like, even though they should be, like, at odds, like, they love each other. Like, they, like, you know, like, she approached him, like, give me that egg back and stop playing it. And he gave her the egg back. So I wonder if the same thing can be said about the dragons.
You might have stumbled upon something, okay? Think about this. I'm going to go back and say Beleriand the Black Dread, the biggest, baddest dragon in history. Okay? The last living creature to see Valeria before his doom. He was ridden by Aegon the Conqueror, the most, you know, fearsome warrior, just like his Beleriand was. And Beleriand the Black Dread is the one that burned Harrenhal. So we've seen Harrenhal a few times. You saw that was where they did the first scene of episode one, The Great Council. Harrenhal is where they had a few times they had different prisoners. Jaime Lannister was a prisoner in Harrenhal for a while. It's that big ass burned castle, right? Because it was supposed to be the biggest castle in Westeros, and Beleriand came and burned that motherfucker down, right? And it's at big ruins. So you got Beleriand, then his second rider is Maegor, who was not even in the line for the throne, and she steals that shit from his nephew with Beleriand, right? Well, I noticed that Beleriand had a third rider, okay? The third rider was this young teenage girl, was essentially Jaehaerys' niece, because they told you had two sisters, one he married and one that was another sister survived the Maegor's rule. And they were her and Beleriand around the year 50 something, they disappeared for like a year. Nobody knew where they were. And when they got back, it said she was barely hanging on to him and she died within a few weeks later. And they think that he maybe took her to Old Valeria. Nobody knows exactly where he took her for a year. But now I'm thinking that she didn't take. It was a young teenage girl trying to go with Beleriand. It was not Beleriand's personality. It didn't take. And now you go back to year 90, or go back forward to year 93, Viserys chooses Beleriand. But we know Viserys is weak. Right. He's not built like that. So I think Beleriand was not ready to bond, and Beleriand just ended up passing away. Like, no, this is not me. You're not Aegon or Maegor, right? You're not.
Dragon took its own life.
He was like, I was like, oh man, and you're young too right now. I don't have energy for some weak ass rider. Like, you're right. They got to be lockstep. Right. And it looks like Laenor and Sea Smoke are lockstep. It looks like Daemon and Caraxes are lockstep. It looks like Rhaenyra and Cyrax are lockstep. And maybe that's why Cyrax didn't flinch with a bigger dragon around, because Rhaenyra got no flinch in her game.
Right.
Right. So he's got that. So she or he, I'm not sure what Cyrax's gender is, but Cyrax ain't fucking around right now. He or she ain't scared.
Right.
I do think, and I worry a little bit about Laenor and Sea Smoke, because I feel Laenor, his plan was a little aggressive. And are they a little too aggressive? Right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Is Laenor stepping a little bit like, you know, his uncle? I get it. Uncle was kind of being a little passive bitch.
But did his plan work?
It worked, but it could have gone wrong so many ways. Like, I mean, they worked because you had another crazy motherfucker in Daemon, right? So, I guess it worked. You're right, but I don't know. But then
I'm
again,
you got to have heart. You have heart. In order to make big plans happen, you got to like, and again, another thing I think is that like his great uncle was like, they weren't for the plan. He had to push it. So There are a lot of things that I like.
Do we want Lenore and Rhaenyra to get married?
I wouldn't be mad at it.
Me neither.
I would not be mad at it. But
they can make a shitload of dragon riders.
They for sure would. And I think also as we continue, because, you know, the War Dog has the opportunity to come back and continue to talk about the dragons with me. And if we do continue to talk about the dragons, also Purple Pants Pod, see, let us know if you want us to come back and talk more. I think it will be interesting for us to pay attention to when we get these new dragon riders to try to like get into their temperament. You know, like just to see like their personality, and also to see like how the dragon is. So now it's like, you know, it's so many things to watch, but to see like really if we are correct in comparing their personalities and their traits to very similar to the dragons, because that also could be very important in season two or the end of the season when the Dance of the Dragon starts.
Yeah, and we knew from Game of Thrones that Drogon, who's the only one that Daenerys ever rode, right? That she bonded with Drogon. But Drogon he marched to the beat of his own drum. Remember, they couldn't keep him in the pit.
Right.
He was killing goats, and then he killed little boys. Like, he had his own personality. And he even snapped back at Daenerys a couple times, right?
Right.
Like, he had his own, but at the same time, when Daenerys needed him, he was there for her. He was there, but he also didn't. He wasn't ready to take orders, though. He was ready to do his own thing.
But I mean, was Daenerys ready to take orders from somebody?
So maybe that's the same personality. So you're like that. So that could be bad news for Caraxes and Daemon, right? Because maybe if Caraxes is anything like Daemon, he's going to be a crazy motherfucking dragon.
Well, right. And then I also, another thing, and then we'll wrap it up, is that when you were saying about we flip a coin and heads or tails about if we have a mad king or a regular king, like you are saying with this current king, how the throne can actually physically reject you, like we see this king. I wonder if the throne could physically change you to a mad king. Because what if the king is somewhat mild temper, but has a sneaky hand? You know that, like, I just feel like there are a lot to be seen and heard. Like, things can change. So it just also makes me wonder, as people get older, sometimes they become more mild temper. Sometimes they go off a little bit more, or like, you know, they could rein it back in. For me, I want to see the good in Daemon. So I'm curious to see, like, as he gets older, as he gets more in power, I wonder what his temperament will be. Clearly, he has that, like, I ain't playing about nothing attitude. But maybe if he gets power, maybe he will rule more. Like, maybe he'll rule with more power, because, again, like, although this king is currently an okay king, but he's not ruling with power. He's not, like, you know, he's not like the greatest king. So just another thing to watch and interesting.
I think that, well, wait, real quick, do we think, now I'm having this memory, did Joffrey get cut by the throne too one time when he was sitting on the throne?
Yes, right?
Because the throne rejected him too. No, he got cut himself by the throne. See, the throne itself rejects you when you're not a fit ruler.
That is so crazy. Like, how do you know? Like, the War Dog is an almanac of many different things. And I am just grateful that we can come together and talk dragons.
Are we going to see a new one next week? Are we going to see a new dragon next week? I think we are.
Tune in next week, and we'll see if the War Dog is back.
All right, so I got Cyrax number one right now. Barely.
Okay, I got Sea Smoke.
Okay.
I got Sea Smoke. But mind you, I'm not mad at your pick, though. Your pick would have been my pick, but I just, you know.
No, Sea Smoke is up there. Sea Smoke had a good debut. Let's see what episode four got in the tank.
Let's see if he continues. Appreciate you, War Dog. And this has been your Purple Dragon.
I said it's a I said it's a I said it's a purple pants premonition.
And we are back this month. Okay, we took a little break, a little hiatus, because sometimes in life, you got to put things on pause. And, you know, for yourself, for your spirit, for the realm. And I am excited to be back this month for our September Purple Pants Premonitions. And if you know the Purple Pants podcast, you know there is no way we can do a premonitions without the one, the only, the great, the loyal, the impeccable, Okay. The gangster to the gurry. And you know it ain't that ER buster, okay?
Gangsta Gurry back in the building, bitch. She's here. It's September. Hi, Bryce. It's been way too long. How are you doing over there, my friend?
I am existing and I am, you know, I could be better, could be worse, but I'm here.
Amen. Amen. I love the transparency because listen, sister, it's the same over here. I have just been floating through life. This summer has been not that great. I'm hopeful for September to be, you know, sultry, to be sexy, to be, you know, sanctified. I'm looking for some really amazing things. I love alliteration, by the way, if you can't tell. but no, I'm looking forward to September to being something that's new because I feel like the summer was rough. And even though we're not fully out of summer just yet, I'm hopeful that, you know, as we step into fall, things feel a little bit more at peace because I feel like, I don't know about you, but 2022, she has been trying it and trying me, baby. Okay.
No, for sure. And I always feel like with the becoming or with the comings of the new year, you know, new year, new me, we're always so hopeful and we set high ambitions or we just set ambitions. And at times when they are not met or it's not what it's giving, I feel like we still just hold on to that, like, you know, new year, like, no, it's okay. It's okay to say this year has been trash, but it's also okay to acknowledge the space in which this year allowed us to be in, because if you don't go through a storm, how can you know or appreciate what a sunny day looks like?
Whoo, amen to that. And listen, all I'm asking for, and I'm saying this in front of the Purple Pants posse, saying this out into the universe, I'm looking for some sun because it's been a lot of storms lately, a lot of rain, you know what I'm saying? And I'm looking forward to the sun kind of like popping out once again and getting that warmth on my skin because she's been a lot. This is also a PSA out there. As far as mental health is concerned, make sure that if you need any sort of support, you're trying to get the support from wherever you can. Listen, it's just the first step that helps you to get to the place that you want to be. And I've been working on some of those things in the background, figuring out what's important for me, you know, what matters, why do I matter, you know what I mean? And bringing those things back to the surface to just, you know, get back to my sense of identity and get back to my sense of self. And I feel like you said, new year, new me, and my new year of life is right around the corner. My birthday is in October, so it feels like, you know, things are settling down in this year of my life, and it's like, what are we manifesting and how are we driving the direction? So that way the next year of your life feels that much more in tune and in line with the direction you're headed. So fingers crossed, you know?
Yes, I love it. And I just have a question for the listeners and or for you. When you feel as though you get into this space that in which 2022 has been, do you find it hard to recognize it in yourself? And do you feel guilty acknowledging it and trying to change it, like as if it's something that we shouldn't be doing? We should just be allowing us to just like wallow in this. And like, how do you know that you're there? And what is it like for you when you've reached that point when you're giving J-Lo enough?
Very great question. I feel like for me personally, it comes in the form of isolation and it comes in the form of really just like taking some time to really just like be with myself. Now, that's very much depression because I, as somebody and just being like very like transparent, like I've suffered with depression for like the majority of like my adulthood. Like I've had, you know, multiple diagnoses as far as like having like what is it called? Like generalized anxiety disorder. Like I have a bunch of these like different mental health things going on. So it's like, for me, I take a lot of time to really just like be with myself. Like I'm not going to sit here and flex. There have been lots of days where I literally cannot pull myself out of bed. It'll go, you know, like sometimes it's like I'm laying in bed. I don't even want to like move. I can't shower. Like I can't think clearly. Like I don't want to converse with people. Cause you know, sometimes when you have a lot of stress and you feel overwhelmed, you start feeling guilty. Like, oh, like my life is giving crap right now. I don't want to bring anybody else into this storm because I don't want them to either A, think differently about me, or B, feel as though I'm a burden to them. So it's kind of like this sense of really getting back to that self-worth and really just like allow myself to have those moments of, you know, isolation and kind of like, you know, figuring out why do I feel the way that I feel? Who do I know that I have in my corner that can support me? And if I don't feel that way, where can I go and get that assistance from? And sometimes when you're in the darkness, it's hard to like answer that question. But then you have those moments where you do resurface, kind of like Groundhog's Day, where your head comes out from underneath the ground. And then it's just like, okay, like I'm taking that first step today, or I'm making that first piece of effort towards the next path that I'm finding myself on. And it feels like, you know, some days I'm down the path deeper than I am other days. It's just really like a figuring it out process, but giving yourself the space to do that. And also, I think it comes to a place of like knowing how you truly feel, and the people around you that really love you and the people around you that always have supported you will always know how to show up for you in the way that you need, if you can vocalize that to them. And that can be hard too, but it's a, you know, it's a process, a back and forth process, I feel like, that you have to deal with it.
No, definitely. And I just feel like anyone that is listening that, like, you know, can relate to this topic, I feel like, first of all, I feel like I'm giving a premonition today, but okay. I feel like the spirit is telling me that today is that first step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like today's that day that you're going to take that first step to be like, you know what? I'm Jennifer Lopez. Enough. I've had enough. Like, you know, okay. And again, some days, you know, we might have to take that step multiple times, but today is a day that you can take that step and be like, you know what? I don't want to continue on this path. I want to put a stop to it. I want to turn the car around. And I just feel like for me, the message of today is this is the first step. And like, you know, prior to us recording, you know, me and Gigi were just talking, and it was just like, just so weird how it's you feel like you're going through something. Somebody else feel like they're going through something. But then like, you know, you show up and it's like, hi. And like, no, like, tear that mask down and say, like, bitch, today ain't today. Today, I've been struggling. And I feel like we both had that conversation today. And it was just very
reaffirming.
It felt like, you know, there was just a blanket. I felt like in the middle of the night, I was cold, and there was a blanket that just came over and was just like, huff, like, you know, it just like someone else knows, someone else gets it. Like, we're not just like talking this. It's really a part of our life. And sometimes it just takes that phone call. Sometimes it just takes that interaction. And yes. like, you know, like Gigi, I am a isolator myself. And at times I struggle with that balance of, oh, I love this. It's like peaceful for me. And where it's like, no, you're isolating yourself because you don't want to be around somebody that can call you out on it. Or like, you know, it's just like, so at times there are, you know, like these steps happen. And the Purple Pants Premonitions is just such a real and reaffirming thing for me in my life, because it's like whenever we get together, I tell the posse, I tell y'all, like, I feel like the messages are curated for me. And so I'm just happy that, we were just able to like record today, because I feel like the recording, yes, we're recording it for the podcast and the posse, but honestly, I feel like today's session was for us.
It's for us.
Mm-hmm. It was like definitely for us.
And it's like you, the other part that I, and I love that you said that, it's like we're here to witness each other. You know what I'm saying? And when you have a witness, can I get a witness? Oh, yeah.
We have a church. We don't know where.
He are a witness. Oh, my God. But no, it's kind of like we have to allow ourselves to have witnesses in our lives that help us to really just like recognize where we are. And sometimes that conversation, sometimes that tap on the shoulder, like, hey, sis, hey, Briss, I see you. I understand what you're going through, helps to give that energy to like help you push through. And it's like, even after we like have, after we, you know, wrap a recording and stuff like that, I'm like, I have phone calls that I've been dreading making because I have not wanted to speak to anybody or like haven't had the energy to like converse. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'll give a phone call to somebody that I've been meaning to give a phone call to and really just like need to catch up with, because I owe that to them. And it's also been like a couple of weeks since they called me and I didn't reach back out. So I really need to like get to that. So I wanted you to say like, thank you, Bryce. Thank you to the listeners. And also thank you for being here to witness the reading that we are going to be talking about today. So I'm really excited, because before we pulled up for this recording, I'd already pulled a couple of cards for our Purple Pants Premonitions. For those of you that are new to the Purple Pants Premonitions, this is just a little bit of insight as to where you can be spiritually at this place in your life, some of these things may resonate. Some of these pieces of information may not resonate, but I do have three cards that represent what the month of September energetically could look like for us. Okay. So Spicy Bryce, are you ready for the tea on today, honey?
Pour.
Okay. Let's go ahead and pour. Cause I was about to say, listen, a girl was feeling a little rusty, but now she's knocked the dust off and she's ready to go. So I'm very excited to talk to us about what we can expect in the month of September. So we have three cards. The first card is going to be the Eight of Staffs. For any readers out there, this is going to be the Eight of Wands. We have the Death card in reverse, which in the specific deck that I'm using called Tongues of the Mother by Akamar Tarot. This is called Iku. Iku is representative of death. And then the last card is the Nomad card. So when you think of a nomad, Bryce, what kind of like comes to mind?
Solitude, somebody mm-hmm. that's on a journey by themselves, somebody mm-hmm. that is, you know, that lives their life in a certain way. For themselves, by themselves, and doesn't necessarily have interactions with other people is what I think of.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's kind of just like they are they get to chart their own territory as far as where they're going. They go based on whatever is put into their spirit, and they kind of like figure out the direction that they want to take themselves as they are, you know, traversing through the terrain, wherever the hell they are. And the Nomad card comes up in reverse here. So I want to kind of like set the tone here. And what this is kind of like reading to me as is things are going to start to get really, really fast moving for us in our lives. I want us to think about some of the actions that we are taking in our lives or that we have maybe been wanting to take in the month of September that we feel excited for, but still feel this sense of like pressure or still this sense of like anxiety or this like, oh, like, am I ready? Is it going to happen? Like, da da da, whatever, whatever. And we have to allow ourselves to get out of that mindset. You know what I mean? We have to allow ourselves to figure out what is making us think that we are not worthy, what is making us think that we are not ready. And we have to kind of like step out of that frame of mentality, knowing that, especially with this Nomad card, you said that it was, you know, you think about somebody that's in solitude, that's by themselves. The Nomad coming up in reverse to me makes me think that this is the time to really enlist the assistance of others and know that even when you're on your journey, you're not alone. You feel what I'm saying? Whether that is with an animal, you can have your trusted, because on the card, shows a man that's kind of like riding a camel. So, you know, he riding through the desert, whatever, whatever. He's not by himself. He still has his camel energy, his camel spirit that's taking him. You know what I'm saying? If the camel want to lay down, he got to lay down. On our journeys, we have to be mindful of the fact that we are not doing this by ourselves, whether it is with physical assistance, whether it is with physical support, or whether it is with spiritual support. And this month is really important for us to remind ourselves that, yes, we have to do some things by ourselves, but there are times where we have to get out of our own way, receive the support from external sources, or figure out the direction that we are going so that way we feel so much more in tune with who we are becoming. Does that make sense for you so far?
I hear it.
Perfect. So I want to get into each of these cards, just a little bit of more insight as to each of them. The Eight of Staffs is the card is represented in Sagittarius. This is the element of fire. It says, set yourself up for an unexpected surge in the speed of your day-to-day life. The uplifting news is that any ventures you start will advance rapidly. You will encounter not many postponements, and the end will probably be fruitful. This is also uplifting news for connections, even though it raises the chances of expecting to travel to make prosperous connections. In light of everything, this is a card that you want to receive when you want to work, lock it in, and make some things happen. So the month of September is really going to allow us some time to think about some of the things that we have coming our way that help us to see the direction that we are going, right? Uplifting news, new ventures, new opportunities, which is very, very exciting. And it also says that it's going to be fruitful. So listen, if something's going to be fruitful, it sounds like it's something I'm trying to be a part of.
Okay.
But with the Death card coming up in reverse, Iku is going to let us know that sometimes we got to let go of the past in order to be able to go towards the future. This is ruled by Scorpio, and it reminds us that death is a transition. Endings are inevitable, but it only signifies the transition into a new reality. My question for you, and this is for any listener out there, this could be for you as well, Bryce. Are you ready for the next chapter? Are you ready for this chapter to end in order for you to step into your new beginning? And if you are ready, what are you willing to do in order to welcome that into your life? Does that make sense?
This is why I be feeling like, Gigi, is you lying? Because I feel like, did you pull them cards before we talked? Because...
Literally pulled them as, like, before you and I had our conversation, before we hopped on, I had the cards, like, set out. I didn't read anything. Like, I was just like, oh, they're sitting here. And now as I'm, like, going into it, I'm seeing everything that we discussed prior to hopping onto this recording, everything that we have been discussing, even some things in my own personal life. I'm like, okay, sister, like, maybe this is the time. Because I and just being honest, I've been struggling with letting go of the past. I've been struggling with my, I think, my mindset around worthiness or the capability of making things happen. Like, am I able to do this? Am I actually going to be able to have the chops to step into the next chapter of my life? Or am I just making this up? You know what I'm saying? That negative self-talk can become very, very easy for us, especially when it feels like that's where your brain sometimes get programmed into a loop. So this is asking, are you willing to step out of the loop and step into the new circuit to make some new shit happen? Okay.
And I feel like I struggle with endings. Like, I don't want things or whatever it could be to come to an end. And I feel like we talked about this before we recorded. And I just feel like you just saying that in the card is that, like, yeah, all things do come to an end, but at it's not the end. It's the end, or it's the transition into something new. And it's like, if you ever been in that place of your life where you're like, why don't I feel like new beginnings are happening? Why don't I feel like this? Because guess what? We're not ending things in order for, like, you know what I mean? Like,
You got to close a chapter in order for, you got to close one door in order for another one to open. You feel what I'm saying? But we also have to remind ourselves that we can close the door. We can end the chapter. Listen, I feel like I'm in somebody's pulpit right now in a church on a Sunday. Okay. But we can move on from one, like, one story into the next chapter of the same book. Just because one chapter is ending doesn't mean you don't love it, doesn't mean you can't give it reverence, but you do know that you are deserving and worthy of something bigger than what you are experiencing right now. I wanted to continue because the text also says, in times like this, it's difficult to let go of what we've grown accustomed to. However, it's imperative to put the past behind you to see what lies ahead. The only thing we can get out of gripping the unraveling strings of severed connections is pain. It's necessary to allow your mind a time of mourning what once was, but imagine the possibilities of what will be.
And what did I tell you? Sometimes we have to go through the storm to know what the sun feels like.
Amen. Amen. And but we always know the sun will be there. That is one thing that we will, that we do know every single day that we wake up. The sun will be there, even if we don't see her, even if we don't feel her, we still know that she is there. So it's conceptualizing and understanding that the belief and the faith around knowing that the sun will always come out is what gets us closer to being able to recognize the sun and let it, you know, be on our skin and let it give us that vitality that we are looking for. The last card is the Nomad card. This is representative of the Chariot. This is any Cancer placements that you may have or any Cancers out there. Shout out to you. But it says, with the rhythm of life forking in all directions, we flow. So this is all about us recognizing that sometimes we just have to go with the flow. We don't have to have everything, you know, hammered out. This is not the, that's not the answer. Because, you know, sometimes when we try to have too much control, we try to have all the answers, nothing really ever happens the way that we plan for it to. And we have to adapt any damn way. So it's really just reminding you, you know, as we may be pulled in opposite directions, move forward in your own direction. You may feel encouraged. Say that again.
I said, what Toni Braxton say? Let it go and let it flow.
Okay.
Let it go, let it go, let,
Not this Toni Braxton voice. I cannot. Just,
everything's going to be all right, you know.
Okay. You better know it's going to be all right. You may feel encouraged to take control of your path, steered in a way that aligns with your personal goals. Realize that this is not the time to take a passive role and hope for the best. There may be challenges, there may be obstacles, but your conviction will always lead you in the right direction to sidestep setbacks. Willpower and self-discipline are your guiding forces to make sure you make the right decisions on which path to take when all is said and done. beware of allowing the wrong turn to destroy your motivation to turn around and start over. Let me say that again, because I feel like this is important for me as well. Beware of allowing the wrong turn to destroy your motivation to turn around and start over. Avoid recklessness. Assess difficulties as possible lessons needing to be learned to forge ahead. So this is just a reminder. You know what I'm saying? Like, things are happening all around us, but willpower, self-discipline, loving on yourself. You can't hope for the best right now. Now is the time for you to really just like allow yourself to just get clear on the direction that you're going. And we've been feeling a little unclear lately as to what we're doing. And this may be because we're feeling a lot of this inside of us, but we're not talking about it. We're not being honest. We're not being authentic. We've been feeling very lonely and feeling like a nomad with no direction. We've been trying to, you know, close doors, close chapters, but a lot of this has been done internally and alone. And this feels like it's a time in order for things are going to continue happening around us and things are going to continue to move quickly. But you have to remember, first off, what's the self-discipline that you have in place to help you close a chapter? And two, even if you make a wrong turn, you still have somebody, something, some guiding force that will help you to redirect yourself and make some things happen in the direction that you want. But know that at this very moment in time, you know, sometimes you got to do it by yourself. Sometimes you got to enlist this assistance of a good friend, a good Judy, you know what I'm saying? Maybe the Lord, you know what I'm saying? If that's what you got to do, you know what's going to be best for you to help you shift into the new reality that you want. So how about you step out and go get it? This month is going to be busy, but it's going to be busy for our own internal self-worth and making things happen that help us to feel even more connected to who we truly see ourselves as. That's my Purple Pants Premonitions for the month of September.
Woo!
Child, I'm over here sweating. Okay.
Listen. Okay. First of all, not the cards reading us. Okay. They okay. was reading today.
Dragging. And I was about to say, I don't know the last time I've done a set like this, even like a short set. It's been a grip. So the fact that they still potent, I'm like, whoo, sister still got it. Okay.
Okay. Well, okay. We ain't never questioned that. Okay. We know. Yes. So appreciative for that reading, for that word. Before we close out, I do just want to, because I'm all about, you know, that spirit of nomad. And I just want the inception of the podcast was I felt maybe as though that I was a nomad and that, you know, the one thing that I love and cherish so much about my podcast is that it's a place to be vulnerable. It's a place to celebrate. It's a place to mourn. It's a place to come as you are. And I'm just appreciative that I have that in the posse. I hope and believe that the posse should know that they have that in me and you as well. And I'm all about accountability. And so what my question for you is, Gigi, what is the first step that we are taking today?
That's a good question.
What is the first step that we are taking today?
Wow, that's a good question. And to be quite honest, in my spirit right now, the answer feels like community. And it's just like tapping back into my community. Like, I first off have to give gratitude for being a part of this, being a part of this podcast, being a part of your life, being a part of the Purple Pants Posse life. It means a lot to me. And I think one of the things that I've been struggling with myself is just like because of everything that I've had going on and just like sometimes not having the vocabulary or not having the energy. I feel like it's been affecting a lot of like my relationships and it's been affecting a lot of the people that like I love, just not being able to show up. And it's just like, you know, part of that guilt that I have right now needs to be erased. And it's really just about me reaching out to some folks that I know that I need to reach out to. Like, this is a perfect example because we haven't even gotten to speak in a minute ourselves.
Right.
So this is just like reaffirming, like, one, you always have had people in your life that you know love you. And two, just kind of like being authentic about where you are instead of feeling like you have to compartmentalize. And I appreciate being able to do that with the listeners. I appreciate being able to do that with you. Like, we can be our full selves. Sometimes our full selves are a little murky. Sometimes our full selves are a little messy, but they're still lovable and they're still great however they are. And I feel like for me, it's really just like spending some time today to reach out to some people that I've been neglecting to reach out to out of fear or out of worry or out of concern. So that's what I'm looking forward to today. How about
yes.
you?
Yes. I think my first step is, it's a tough one. I think it is along that same realm of community. And it really, for me and my spirit is that I always say that, like, I'm not perfect and that, you know, I've got flaws and all. And, you know, people still love and support me. And I think it's being transparent. And I think mm-hmm. that it is allowing the people that I know that are in my life for reasons that are beyond me, because, like, you know, God, the universe has placed them in my life. And I think that mm-hmm. that same grace that I preach and that I talk about, I need to exude that, and I need to allow space for them to be mm-hmm. not perfect, and, you know, and to receive what they say, and not maybe so much in a negative space, but to receive what they say and to acknowledge it, and just like to just give them grace, because I know that good friends, good relationships, good things are hard to find. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to be a nomad, if you don't want to go on this journey by yourself, like, you need community. And community shows up, and how it shows up, and it's not perfect. It's not, you know, but you've got to give the grace that you want. We've got to give to others. And I think that that's really my first step, is just acknowledging that nobody's perfect. And I think mm-hmm. that the more we try to be perfect, or the more we set these unrealistic expectations, like, you know, it will hurt us, or, you know, it will, but let the wall down, like, be vulnerable yep. and allow people to show up in your life how they show up, just as much as you want them to allow you to show up as you are. I feel mm-hmm. like it's really my first step.
Amen. And also to add on to that, you can't control what the response will be from the opposite end. You have to receive it as it is, and you move on from there. You know what I'm saying? It just gives you clarity as to how you get to show up fully. Sometimes the reality of it is, when we show up how we are, some people don't receive that. And right. you can't expect them to receive it the way that you want them to receive it.
Right. Like that.
Hard pill to swallow. Hard pill to swallow, but a reality. And it's just like, you take everything at face value. And I think that that's an affirmation that I'm working on right now, as far as just like taking what I can and being grateful for what it is, and knowing that there are the right people around that always will love and support us and be there for us till the end of time. Okay.
Okay. Come on, but like, child, we just dropping these Beyonce titles. Okay.
Happy birthday, Beyonce.
Yes,
it is
happy
her birthday.
Birthday. Okay. Yes. Right. Come on, Beyonce. We up on this, the internets of Beyonce. Okay. Happy birthday, queen. But before we go, if there is someone that wants to reach out to you, if there's somebody that wants to go back and listen to an older episode of your own podcast, where can the people follow you at? Where can the people search you out?
If you want to find me on social media, I have been a little missing in action, but I do still have all of my accounts. You can follow me, Gangsta Gurry, Gangsta with an A, because we don't do that ER Buster-ish over here, G-U-R-Y. I would suggest, if you need anything, you can reach out to me via email. That's the best way to get in contact with me right now, as I don't have a functioning website, gangstagurry@gmail.com. If you're interested in listening to my own show, Mystic Moments, where I bring a little wisdom and mysticism to your week, you can find Mystic Moments anywhere that podcasts can be listened to. Just type it in and you should see me pop up. And I'm excited to have you guys come check out the show.
Yes. Well, I appreciate you so much. And if you are listening and you felt like you got something out of it, if you felt motivated to take that first step, when you see this podcast, wherever it is, on the Twitter, on the Instagram, or even in the comments, just let us know. Say, I heard this mm-hmm. premonition. Let us know. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate it. And we will be back next month for your Purple Pants
premonition.
Let it go, let it go, let it flow.
Come on, Tony.
Bob's got a message. Bob's got a message. Bob's got a message for you. Bob's got a message for you. Oh, and I hope it comes true.
Hi, this is Ms. Barb, and I'm coming to you once again to share with you a little information about your magic. Your magic comes from being you, not from trying to be like anyone else, not from trying to be how you think you should be, but simply from being you. Your magic comes from letting yourself be seen exactly as you are. Your magic comes when you say what you mean and be who you want to be. It comes from choosing the jobs you love and spending time with the people you love. It comes from letting go of all those who drain your spirit and don't see your shine. Your magic comes when you stop trying to prove that you deserve to be here. And when you start just fully and entirely being here. Your magic comes when you realize there is no competition or race, nor has there ever been. It has always been about simply being yourself, moving at your own pace, and letting your magic shine. You know, I cannot begin to tell you how many times I've read this piece. And by the way, you know who it was written by? Nikki Bannis. But what I can tell you, that each time I've read it, my heart just leaps for joy. Love you.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
And we are on to this week's Freak of the Week. And this week's Freak of the Week is to someone well-deserving, a trendsetter, somebody that has been inspiring us and little brown girls around the world. The U.S. Open is taking place right now. And unfortunately, our girl Serena Williams was knocked out on Friday. However, prior to the U.S. opening starting, she had announced that this would be her retirement. And although it makes me so sad because it's like, I don't want you to retire, it is just so amazing to think that she has been doing this game for 27 years, her and her sister. But not only did they start when they were like 14, 15 years old, they are now in their 40s and they are still out here killing the game. She's announced that she's going to be spending more time with her family and going into other ventures. But again, it's just so crazy to think that Serena Williams is retiring. And in my opinion, she is the greatest of all times of all athletes. And in her giving her thank yous after she was eliminated on Friday, one thing that she touched, well, that touched my heart was when she just said, I wouldn't be Serena if there wasn't a Venus. And I just love the dynamic of the two sisters. We've watched them grow up. Well, I specifically has watched them grow up. They've inspired so many people of color to get into tennis and just being great women that they are. This week has to go to our girl, Serena Williams. Congratulations, a job well done. Now she say this is going to be her last tournament, but you never know what could happen. But again, at times in life, everything has to come to an end. And I think that when we talked about in the Purple Pants promotions that, like, you know, ending is inevitable. And I think that at times we look at it as sad, but ultimately, in order for another door to open, one door has to close. And I just, from the bottom of my heart, just want to shout out my girl, Serena Williams. You did that. And I'm excited to see what you will do in the future. And, you know, the way we honor and give people their flowers while they are here on the Purple Pants podcast is awarding them the Freak of the Week. So, Serena Williams, you did your thing. Love you. And if Serena Williams is this week's Freak of the Week, that means we are coming to a close of another amazing episode. As always, Posse, I appreciate you for holding down your baby boy, showing me love, giving me my flowers while I am here. And I appreciate it so much. If you could be so kind to ensure You are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you can find podcasts. The Purple Pants Podcast is residing there, waiting for you to hit subscribe, to write a review, give your baby boy some 5 stars. And don't forget to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend that it's a purple dragon, because it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.